Konrads Kosmos. Die Mission Kreativität Teil 2 mit Christian Bürge. Mission Control ready for takeoff.
3, 2, 1, 0.
Konrads Kosmos, der Podcast des Gründungsservices der Filmuniversität Konrad Wolf. Wir, das sind Iskander und Charlotte, sprechen in dieser zweiten Episode zum Thema Kreativität mit dem Professor für Kreativität Christian Bürge. Ihr habt manchmal Phasen, in denen ihr richtig kreativ seid, danach aber keine Idee mehr findet? Vielleicht findet ihr die Antwort in dieser Episode. Christian erklärt euch nämlich, wie kreative Prozesse entstehen, funktionieren und wie ihr sie nachhaltig gestaltet. Also, los geht's!
So, hi Christian, let's address in this episode the following question: how can we become a creative person? And this question implies already that you have to become a creative person. Is there any chance that we are naturally creative?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think most researchers would agree that humans are to some degree naturally creative, particularly in the early parts of our life when we're children. We see how curiosity seems to be a natural thing, where we quickly look for how to solve problems in new ways, we quickly get inspired by other people, we quickly try out something when we encounter a problem. To some degree, that we see that clearly in children. But that's just one part of being creative. Another part of being creative is to apply knowledge, and a lot of knowledge, and combine it in new ways, for example. And children may not be as good at that, not because they're not good at combining things, but maybe because they don't have so much knowledge. That's why being a child is not enough to be highly creative. Sometimes it's good to have the knowledge and experience you have as an adult. The problem is, as we grow older, it seems to also decrease our creativity. We don't know for sure what is the reason. Some are speculating that it's the way we design our education, our hobbies, sports, or maybe it could be that humans as a nature are just need to be more open-minded when we are young to learn quickly, and we need to be more stable maybe when we're older to take in a new generation and help them in their life. We're not really sure, but one thing is for sure. The way we've designed our society and the way society is running, it seems to be more urgent to become creative, both in terms of jobs and in terms of getting influence on how you live your own life. Otherwise, if you're not creative, then otherwise you may not have that much control over it. You can ask yourself the question, if you were sitting with a random problem, maybe a problem you find interesting, maybe a problem you were just given by a boss, a customer, or a friend, do you know how to produce hundreds of ideas? How to produce some ideas that will inspire yourself and others? And do you know how to produce some ideas that are easy to implement? And do you know exactly how to do that on command every time you get this? And most people who are asked this question will say, no, they don't know exactly how to do it. Therefore, maybe we have a problem that we are creative, but we don't know how to kickstart it. Or it's a little bit rusty because we don't use it too often. So another way of talking about developing creative competences or becoming a creative person is maybe to talk about it as to regain your creative competence and to regain your creative confidence so that you feel like you can do it and you know how to do it. So that's another way of putting it.
So it's a good mixture of talent and hard work. How can we develop now our creative process?
One way to think about it is to use the metaphor of a football coach, a football trainer. When they want their football players to become better at football, then they look for areas of improvement. Maybe you're good at passing the ball using the inner side of your foot, but you're not so good at some of the other things. So a coach or trainer will help you look for these other areas and help you systematically, deliberately. So that's a nice metaphor, I think, for also becoming more creative. Maybe you're creative only in the way you understand creativity. Maybe you think you're good at drawing, but drawing is merely an expression of some ideas. Producing them, you may not be so good at. And that's an important way to look at developing creative ideas, that you look for areas of competences in creativity that you may not be so good at. But another way to look at this, how do we develop creative competences, is to also think about the first time, if you can ride a bicycle, and if you cannot, then you just have to imagine how it is. But the first time you tried riding a bicycle, you probably had problems with the balance. So when you sit on the bicycle and you remove your feet from the ground, you would maybe feel like you're falling to the side, and you will try to push the pedals a little bit to get into speed. But you'll have troubles with it. But after about, I don't know, half an hour, 1 hour, you will feel like, hey, now it's going well. I can drive without falling. I can feel like I'm feeling the balance, and I can try to speed up and use the brake and stuff like that. I can also turn to the side. So relatively quickly, when you start to develop creative competence, you'll get a feeling, wow, this I can master quite easily. But it doesn't mean that you are turning into Tour de France winner instantly. It probably means that you have potential for this if you keep on practicing and developing your creative competences. So think about it like this. If you start deliberately being creative in the areas where you're maybe not so good at, you'll become better at it. So doing it makes you better, but it doesn't mean, of course, that you'll become Einstein instantly or other things. And maybe you never have potential for that, but it's a relative scale. You can become more or less creative depending on how much effort you put into this practice. I would like to call it practicing creativity.
So it's like not everybody can become Ronaldo or Messi.
Probably not, but everybody can do the effort to practice to become better. Another way to look at it is also when you need to learn a language, practice makes you better. You know, you practice grammatics over and over again. You practice pronunciations over and over again, and eventually you become good. Not everybody learns quickly language. I'm one of those who really hard time having when I need to learn a new language. But some have an ear for it. And I think it's the same for creativity. Some seems to advance quite quickly while others don't. But the important thing is that you start having a more systematic, deliberate focus for it. Like we do in schools when we learn math or grammatics. These are good analogies for it.
So creativity is some kind of a muscle you can train, right?
Yeah, that's also a nice metaphor for understanding creativity. If you don't use it for several years, it becomes a little bit rusty. And when you start using it, it becomes more easy to apply.
So soccer players, they need speed, technique, stamina. What are competences for the creative person?
There are quite a lot of competences for being a creative person. One answer could be that if you are, let's say from a process perspective, we will talk about that in another episode, from a process perspective, all the competences you need to master the process steps in a creative process, if you're good at those, then you will be highly creative, at least in a process. But you can also talk about it, and I like to talk more about it as a general set of creative competences, something that is not related to creative process, not related to art, but related to general life. And here we see some competences that will help you become creative in general life. For example, if you want to be better at producing more alternative ideas, then it may be a good idea to be very good at, or let's call it perseverant in producing lots of ideas. Let me elaborate that a little bit. One of the few areas that I've encountered where quantity leads to quality is knowledge. Most people recognize that the more knowledge you gain about a domain or profession or discipline or hobby, the better you can make decisions within that. But the same seems to be the case for creativity. The more ideas you get, the better the foundations for making decisions you'll also get, in a similar way as knowledge. So new ideas and new experiences or new knowledge overlaps. The only place where they're different is that you have not tried out these new ideas yet, but they still can help you having a foundation. So the problem is about this quantity quality issue is most people, let's say it as a weak competence, most people will stop being creative when they get a good idea. When they get an idea that they feel like this will solve my problem, this is okay, and then they'll stop investing more time in being creative. But if you want to be more better at this, more creative, have a higher competence in idea production, then it's a good idea to deliberately practicing that when you get a good idea, you keep on producing idea, you persevere, you persist and continue to see if the next idea is even better or more interesting. And if the next again is more interesting, and next and next and next and so forth. You practice that. You don't stop because you get a good idea. You stop when you have set, when the time is over or when you are too tired to continue. So that will give you more alternative ideas to choose from, and you'll also better see the nuances of choosing the one idea from the other and what opportunities that will give. Let me give you another example. This was related to idea production. Another competence related to idea production that most people would easily be able to develop is, let's call it idea combination. Some people consider that also as a tool, but when I talk about creativity as a competence, as a set of competences, I don't think that you should learn it as a tool. I think you should learn it as a natural way of thinking, as a way of being. So it becomes a second nature. So idea combination is where you get inspiration. Basically, it's the competence to be able to identify an idea in another industry or another domain or other problem area and transfer it to your problem. Let's say you're working in a clothing store and you want to get new ideas for presenting the clothes to your customers. And you have looked at other clothing stores and it's kind of similar. They're hanging on these hangers and then there are these locker rooms where you can try out your clothes with a mirror or normally in the locker room. You want to get new ideas. So you go look in other industries that have nothing to do with clothing. Maybe you look into a furniture store. Some furniture stores uses themes, like showroom themes. Like IKEA has these themes where if you go to the children department in IKEA, you have maybe 7 or 6 different children rooms decorated in different styles. Maybe one of them is a girl room, more pink, another one yellow, another one green, and it has different furniture. So the idea about these theme showrooms is that you can go into them and you can have a feeling, how would your children's room be like if you buy some of these furnitures? Or if this is how your children's furniture look like almost now, then you can bring in another furniture and see how would it fit with a similar room that you have at home. So if we transfer that idea, we have identified this idea of theme showrooms, and we transfer that idea to our clothing store. Let's say we just make these theme showrooms in a clothing store, but we have to design them in a way that makes sense for the customers. So we maybe have themes related to the use of the clothes or the expected use of the clothes you're going to buy. So we maybe have one theme room about work office, another about going out in town, maybe a restaurant theme, another one about going to the beach. And when you then try out clothes, let's say you try out clothes you want to wear at work, you go to this area or corner or room where it's themed, where it's decorated as a workplace. And you sit at the desk, work office, and you look into the mirrors and walls, see, how do I look like when I'm working? Another one, if you want to buy clothes for going out in town, you try it out, you go to the room where it's decorated like that, and you try out, how do I look like when I'm sitting in a restaurant or in a bar and the light is a little bit dimmed, a little darker? These kind of things. And this is idea combination. This is also a competence that you can practice to become better at and gain as a second nature. These were just a few, but there are also some related to persuasion or acceptance making, some related to decision making, and some related to problem identification.
The idea combination is one competence. Can you describe some more for us?
I've given an example of the competence to produce lots of ideas, like this perseverant, creative perseverance. And I've given the example of idea combination. But another one, maybe let's take one related to decision making or being able to see idea potential when it's there. Here, one of the competences that are quite important for most people is to have a high cognitive flexibility. Basically, in short, it means that you become good at postponing making up your mind. So imagine you're seeing a new situation. You're walking on the street and you are seeing some guy who have parked their car in a very strange way, where it's a little bit annoying. You cannot get around it easily. If your first thought is, this is annoying, what a stupid guy, then you have a very low cognitive flexibility. But if you either have a high cognitive flexibility or you deliberately start practicing it, then you will start getting ideas. Why may it be that he has parked the car this way? Maybe it's because he just received a phone call from his wife. She's pregnant. She's in an apartment upstairs somewhere near the parking. He just parked quickly to run up and get her to drive her to the hospital. Or maybe it is that when he arrived, there was a big truck parked in front of him and he couldn't get away. And then a lot of cars were parked behind him, waiting in line. So he just drove a little bit to the side. And it's still not a really good parking, but that was his option at the time. So now he went to a toilet and coming back soon, probably. These are a few examples of trying to get, let's say, alternative explanations that you produce yourself for why may this strange behavior or this strange idea somebody else have done make sense. So that is a core competence you need if you want to be good at making decisions in relation to creativity, because it will make you more visionary. It will take you to a point where you're not trying to defend your own ways of looking at the world, your own perspectives, but you're trying to understand as many different perspectives as possible before you make up your mind, before you make your decisions. And you're not just trying to get perspectives from other people, how they see the world. Of course, that's important, but it's also to try to get perspectives that maybe none of you in your team or in your organization or you or your customers have ever thought about before. And that will make you make more visionary decisions.
So to have more points of view?
Not just other point of views, but other points of understanding a particular situation. So a more practical context in a, let's say, an organization. Imagine you're sitting in a meeting and there are maybe two dominating ideas you're discussing. Maybe three in the team are favoring one idea and two are favoring another idea. Normally in such a situation, you would spend most of the time argumenting which one is best. So the three would defend their idea, attack the other, and the two would defend their idea and attack the other. So here is, let's call that a low cognitive flexibility. Here you try to develop argumentation that will make you win the discussion. But if you want to be more creative, then the point is not ever to win a discussion, unless you're trying to persuade other people, of course. But in making decisions, we're not trying to win discussions. We're trying to learn as much as quick as possible and to see much broader, what is it that I have not seen yet? What is it I have not learned or experienced yet that maybe others have? So you never go into a discussion trying to win it. You always go into discussion trying to learn as much as possible. But how do the others see the world? Is there something I can quickly learn here so that I can make better decisions? Of course, that will make you feel like you're often losing arguments because you spend all the time trying to understand. But in the long run, you will get a better understanding, also better arguments, and you will get to better decisions because you're not trying to win, you're trying to learn quickly. And that's part of cognitive flexibility and how you make a more ambitious creative decision making.
So what is the structure for this individual training for creativity?
When we start practicing creativity, we first have to think about it as something we do deliberately, not randomly. It has to be something we structure. Let's say we structure it so that we spend 5 minutes each day or 10 minutes each day. Or let's say we are a team, if you're not individual, but more working in a team or something, that you structure it so that every time you have a coffee break or every time you have lunch together or every time you have a meeting, a particular meeting, then you include it into that context. So you spend some time doing it there. The more often you do it and the more, let's say, on an everyday basis, you can do these kind of exercises, training itself, the more likely it is that it will spill over into the rest of your workday, into the other activities you have. So it's a kind of reminder or a short experience of how to be creative on a daily basis. That's a very nice way to put it. What should happen in this training? An exercise can be, as I explained before, just something where you, for example, for idea combination, you just try to take a problem and getting inspiration from a completely different industry or domain or profession. You can do it in 5 minutes and you can do it on problems that are related to your own piece of work. Let's say you're animating a dream world, some dreams that are taking place in a movie, and you want to make the transitions between dream one and dream two and dream three, and maybe there's several dreams taking place in a row. Then you try to look for inspiration in other worlds, and you deliberately pick some completely random, maybe. It could be a tourist guide. How do they make transitions? So a tourist guide takes you around in town, and the transitions is normally that they tell you, okay, this place we've just seen, you've been walking around, is historical, it's from Edward the Fourth King something, and now we are going into another time period, we're going 200 years ahead in time, and you will see how they produce churches in another time period. And in a similar way now, you can try to transfer that into your animation. You can imagine that every dream have a one person that is always there, in all dreams, across all the dreams. It's kind of like a guide that kind of ends the dream and opens the next dream and is already always in all of the dreams. So here you have been practicing a problem related to your work animation, producing this dream world transition by using idea combination. But you can also do it on completely random things, like how can you make in a supermarket and you're not working in supermarket, how can you make the queue, the feeling of waiting in queue, feeling better, or the queue actually shorter, or how can you make a different payment situation? And again, if you want to practice being good at idea combination, you look for other places where people are waiting in line or making transactions. For example, waiting line, they do it in airports, at airport security. So now you can look at how do they do it there, and can we transfer some of these ideas into a supermarket? How would it look like if we did some of the same things as they do in airport security? So you do it regularly, and you do it on other things that are not related to your work or things that are related to your work. But the important thing is that you keep it running. Then what you will feel when you start doing this is that after a few weeks, if you just do 10 minutes a day or 15 minutes a day, after a few weeks, you'll feel like in terms of confidence, you'll feel like you are far better at this. You will get more ideas and more interesting ideas than you would normally get when you sit down for 10, 15 minutes starting to be creative. Secondly, you will also slowly see that it becomes a competence. Maybe that takes a few more weeks, that it's not just a tool anymore, that it's something when you randomly go into a situation and you don't prepare to be creative, you don't decide to be creative, suddenly they just start to pop up into your mind. You see how you start thinking about other situations naturally and bring them in as inspiration for your problem that you're working on right now. And then it becomes more like a second nature competence. And this is what we're looking for when we talk about creativity as a set of competences. So to finish it off, after you feel that, after you gained it as a competence, you can stop practicing it, because then it will be a natural way of being and you will maintain this competence just by being yourself, because it's part of being yourself. For a team or for a group of department, then maybe it's not so easy to know when everybody has made this into a competence. So here we maybe talk about, we do it for 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something, and then we measure how far we got and decide whether we want to keep training or not.
So if you want to be creative, you have to be patient, right?
If you want to be a professional soccer player, then it's not something you do a week over a weekend. You cannot just practice for a whole weekend and then expect to join Barcelona or Bayern Munich. The same way for creativity. If you want to really be good at creativity, then it's a journey you have to start. It's something that you decide you want to become it and you start deliberate practicing. Maybe you decide that after a few months it's enough, but maybe you need more. And it's also your ambition level determines both ambitions of what you want to be good at. Do you just want to be good at producing more ideas? Or do you also want to be good at making better decisions? Do you also want to be good at persuading other people on your new ideas and so forth? So it can take a lot of time. But the good thing is, when you think about it as a competence, that it becomes not just something temporary. It becomes part of you. So if you're an individual, it becomes one of your ways of producing your work. If you're a team organization, it becomes a culture. It becomes a fundamental part of how you work in your organization. And that's very difficult to imitate from competitors.
So thanks so far, Christian. And in the next episode, we will risk a deep dive into the creative process.
Das war die zweite Episode zum Thema Kreativität mit Christian Bürge. Ihr findet diese und weitere Episoden von Konrads Kosmos unter www.filmuniversität.de/audio. Und in der nächsten Episode beschäftigen wir uns mit der kreativen Teamarbeit. Seid ihr bereit? Gefördert durch das Bundesministerium für Wirtschaft und Energie im Rahmen von EXIST.